Thank you again for having me here today. I do think it is a great kindness of God to meet new brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm very thankful for opportunities that that God gives us to encourage each other in our faith. And we all know that the world is a difficult place for Christians. It's no walk in the park being a Christian in this day and age. The world does oppose us. We even know that our own sinful tendencies do wage war against us as well. They do drag us down. But we also know from Matthew 28, don't we, that Christ has promised to be with us to the very end of the age. And I think that is one of the most precious promises of Scripture, that Christ is with us to the very end of the age. And so as we do things like this, as we put ourselves in the way of God's good graces, gathering as his people, sitting under his word, entrusting ourselves to him in prayer, singing together in song, that's where we know Christ's presence, isn't it? And we know that in faith, he will carry us through all the trials of life to the end. Because our God is a faithful God. And our Lord is a faithful Lord. And really, it is that hope, that assurance that we have in God's faithfulness that spurs us on for global cross-cultural mission. Whether you're planning on becoming a missionary or whether you are planning on supporting a missionary, God's faithfulness is your foundation. Which is why I think Genesis 12 is just a really good place for us to consider, a good passage for us to consider this morning. The promises to Abraham, God's promises to Abraham. Because these promises are the foundation for what we believe as Christian. They're the foundation of our faith. They're promises that pave the way to life for you and me, and indeed for the whole world. And we know that these are promises that find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus. All of God's promises find their yes in Christ. And that's why CMS, our vision, is for a world that knows Jesus. Not simply people knowing about Jesus, but knowing him as their Lord and Saviour, as their only hope in life and death. That's what we want people to know. We want people to know that he is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And so from this passage, there's just three things that I want to encourage you with today. As you consider your part and the part you play in cross-cultural mission. And the first thing is this: be encouraged that God uses weak things to achieve his purposes. I've already said that in that interview. I don't know how often you experience this, but I often feel quite overwhelmed by the size of our world and by the size of the problems in it, to be honest. It's complex, isn't it? And sometimes I feel that it's all I can do just to manage my own household, let alone think more broadly. Yeah, a household that knows Jesus, that seems ambitious enough. A world that knows Jesus. What possible difference could I make in this? And why bother? If my contribution is going to be so ridiculously small, why would I even bother starting? That's often how I feel. And I wonder if you feel the same. If you do, I want you to take courage, because God uses and chooses weak things for his purposes. And that's what we get in this passage. Verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you." And I've got to say, in worldly terms, Abram was a really bad choice. He's a really bad choice. He and his wife Sarah are well and truly into their twilight years. They have no children. From a worldly perspective, they've got no legacy, no future. Why would you choose this guy? And on top of that, look at what God calls him to do. Leave everything that's familiar to you. Your land, your relatives, your home, your culture. Leave it all. Any strength that Abram might have found in those things he's asked to leave behind. From a worldly point of view, this seems like a very odd choice, doesn't it? But it's God's choice, because this is how God works. 1 Corinthians 1, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Or 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Our God uses us in our weakness so that his power will be on display. And I think that's just a super encouraging thing for us to remember. And our missionaries often feel this. In fact, they deliberately go out in weakness, very vulnerable. I'm so thrilled that you are partnering with Adam and Avril. They are a delightful family. I've really enjoyed getting to know them. We had a missionary day just a couple of weeks ago, and I had the privilege of holding little Anna for about 45 minutes. She's a delightful child, let me tell you. And anyway, it was a pleasure. They are a great family, and I really think, you know, please invest time in them. But what I wanted to say, in a recent prayer letter, Adam actually shared some of their fears that they have about what they're going to do, their fears about leaving. He says, there is a big part of me that just has this ball of stress when I think about that long drive up the ramp into the airport drop-off zone. And yet, we're still heading towards that moment. Why? Well, it's because we're convinced that the cross both compels and enables us to do things that terrify us. Adam and Avril are very aware of their weakness, very aware of their fears, and yet the message of the cross compels them. You see, like Abram, they are going, leaving all that is familiar to them, but they're drawing their confidence from the God who is faithful, from the God who promises. And so my question to you is, how could he use you in your weakness? How could he use you to serve here at Hurstville Grove and in this community? How could he use you to support mission across the world? How could he use you to be sent as a missionary, perhaps? Be encouraged. God uses weak things, humble things, for his glory, for his purpose. Second thing to notice from this passage is the trajectory of God's vision. And I want to encourage you to align your thoughts and your hearts and your desires to the thoughts and the hearts and desires of God. The trajectory of his vision, it is always outward, always outward. God's promises to Abram, they're not for Abram alone. You would have noticed that. Yes, God says that he will bless Abram, but he also says that Abram will be a blessing and that ultimately the whole world would be blessed through him. And I think this is a super important principle for you and I to remember. God does not intend for the process of blessing to stop when it reaches you. You are not the end of the line of God's blessing. God's trajectory is always outward. He blesses you so that you can then be a blessing to others. And this outward trajectory, we actually see it all the way through the Bible. We see it from the very beginning, Genesis 1, when God created mankind. We're told that God blessed them and said, fill the earth and subdue it. Ends of the earth in mind from the very beginning. God didn't say, stay here and feather your own nest. God's blessing is meant to be passed on. He says a similar thing to Noah after the flood in Genesis 9. And of course, Jesus himself in the Great Commission. What does he say? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. There's the trajectory. There's the vision. There's God's will, his heart, his desire. Always outward, always with the ends of the earth in mind. And so I want to encourage you in your weakness to have your eyes fixed on that. Big vision for the world. And I trust that you guys are praying for the work of the gospel in Southeast Asia through Rebecca and your partnership with her. How good is it that you get to add Madagascar to your prayer itinerary? I think that's awesome. I'm pretty sure you'll learn more about Madagascar than what the movie gives you, but I hope you do. But I do encourage you to get to know these locations. As I said in that interview, reach out to Rebecca, find out how she's going, find out some of the challenges that she's had, and even think about some of the things that have surprised her about her culture. You can do the same thing with Adam and Avril. The last thing I want to encourage you with this morning from this passage is just to recognise the priority of God's promise. Recognise the priority of God's promise in your life, in your local evangelism, but also in your support for global mission. The priority of God's promise, what do I mean by that? Well, as Christians, we know that we are not saved by the things that we do. We know that. We know that we are saved through faith in Christ alone. That's how God's blessing comes to us. Through faith in him, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And that faith, our faith, your faith, it is actually born from hearing the promise of God in Christ. That's how your faith came to life. And to see the way that God is so trustworthy to those promises. God sent his one and only Son into this world as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. He did that for us. God raised him to new life to assure us that sin and all its consequences have been completely dealt with, finally, fully. That's the promise of God in Christ, completely fulfilled. And when we hear that promise, our response is to surrender ourselves to him in trust. And when we trust that promise, we're blessed by God. His seal of approval comes on us. And when we're blessed, we then go about blessing others. And we do that by passing on the promise. Have you heard about God's promises in Jesus? Have you heard about God's promises, what God promises in the Bible? They're great questions to ask people. We are promise sharers in mission. We're not moral crusaders. And so, that's what we do. We invite people to hear the promises of God and respond in faith. And I really want to encourage you guys to feed yourself with those promises daily, weekly, monthly. Continue to reflect on the God that is faithful to you. And so there are three things from Genesis 12. Be encouraged that God uses weak things. Have your eyes fixed on the ends of the earth and keep this priority of promise at the heart of your faith. Let me pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you that we can trust you, that as we read through the scriptures, we see the way that you have made your promise through Abraham to the world. And we thank you for the way that that promise finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We thank you that as we look on him, we know that we can trust you, and we pray that you would help us to do that. And as we do that, we pray that you would help us to be people who share those promises with others around us. And we pray that you would help us to partner in this wonderful work of seeing a world that knows Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.